Tanya Curry, officially a very good morning to you. All right, what are the big stories that we were talking about in South African news in social media this week?
You know, Howard, it's these two big polar opposites. Like, this is how bipolar this country is.
Yeah.
The biggest story was state capture inquiry, and the second largest story was the 10-year challenge. And combined, they contribute over 50% of our conversation this week. So let's start with the lighthearted one, as it's Friday. The 10-year challenge. Okay, so when I saw this story, my first thought was, this is an exercise to train the Facebook machine. That was my first exercise.
Right. We spoke about that on air, actually, is that we got a lot, I saw a lot of comments that, in fact, it was to train exactly AI and train, you know, facial recognition from way back when. But the truth is they've got those photos, don't they?
Well, I mean, if you understand how AI works, they can go and fetch the photos. It's a lot harder to go and source by 2010 or 2008, rather, 2008, and then go and find things that are the human being you're looking for, you know, because our pictures in 2008 include dogs, include family members,
right.
include whatever.
Right.
So it's much easier if you tell the machine, here's the one picture. On the left, you've got 2008, and on the right, you've got 2018. And it's just the way it's been orchestrated, if it is true, you know, I'm a big conspiracy theorist, but if it is true, it's absolutely brilliant. And you've got to give kudos to Facebook for doing it.
And everybody's doing it.
Even if they know that if the machine's being trained, they still do it. Like, I've got people going, yeah, the machine's been trained, and then the next thing they pop up with a 10-year
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. My thought process is, I wonder how many people did it and then thought, oh, well, God, I look terrible a decade later. I'm not posting that.
I actually thought that everybody seemed to look better 10 years later.
Well, that's why they posted it. I'm sure there's a lot of people that didn't look better 10 years later and those didn't post it. But it is an enormous story. 600,000 unique items. Sorry, 900,000 unique items.
Oh, my word.
Over a 7-day period. And South Africa, it's not a local challenge. It's an international challenge. South Africa comes in as the 7th largest country in the world, contributing to that particular data set. America is number one, and number two will surprise you, is Nigeria. So there we go.
Wow.
So that was the lighthearted story of the week, that and the Proteas. But my goodness, let's talk about state capture. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it, but I've been following it very close. I can't get over what I'm hearing.
It's like a very bad movie, isn't it?
I mean, so the way they talk about having these vaults of money that they would just go to collect, to take thousands and thousands of rands out openly for bribes.
Well, I tell you what, firstly, Agrizi, as much of a crook that he is, I'm finding him one of the most lovable rogues ever. He's particularly funny. I find him very funny. And he is just vomiting information.
Well, you know, that's what the part that I'm loving is he's not, you know, we were having a discussion the other day. In fact, I met with a few people and we were talking about the success of the TRC. It was quite a heavy conversation. And part of my concern was that it wasn't really an unburdening. It was quite scripted, even the TRC. And I found state capture has been something quite similar until this week. And all of a sudden it's become real.
Well, I mean, this guy got up on the stands for the stand for those of you who didn't watch it, and he basically vomited everything about Basasa. Now, they had 8 vaults in this particular organization. Each vault was behind a secret door or secret wall. Okay, this is how clandestine these operations are. And you'd go in behind the secret wall and inside would be the vault where the cash was kept. They didn't refer to thousands. They'd say 110, and 110 meant 110,000. They were shipping on average 3 to 4 million a week out in colored plastic bags. And it was a greasy's job to count it out and put it into the allocated bags, and people walked out with it to bribe people. That is, the first question is, where's all that cash coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Is that our cash in transit heists, or is there that much dirty money in the country? And the second thing is, like, there's a whole company there of people that are only there to serve bribes. That's all they were doing. I mean, he implicated so many parties with tenders, and the thing is that he had a video, and every time somebody was seen on the video, he'd identify them and tell the inquiry exactly what they did. And this went on for 2 days. And on the second day, once this video started getting more intense and people's faces were on it and that sort of thing, the next thing we knew, we were in part two of yesterday's testimony. Part three, when they came back, was just Judge Zondo to say that there'd been a security breach. And it turns out one of the police are involved in this particular story as well. And I hope he made it through the night. I'm dying to see the testimony today.
Yeah, well, just careful use of phrase there. Dying to see testimony today. He actually friended me on Facebook the other day.
Oh wow!
But I don't know if it's really him or not. You know, you never really know.
You never know with Facebook. You never know. But look, he's certainly brave, brave rogue. Mm. And there's nothing in it for him. I mean, he'll probably go to jail after this. You know, but he was earning something like 20 odd million a month.
Yeah, which is nice.
They used to call it, it's very nice. They used to call it monopoly money. And he said there were two reasons for that. Number one was because it was used to control the monopoly. And number two, because it was just money. And he said it like that. It's just money, you know?
Unbelievable.
Crazy, crazy story. And then, of course, the third largest story on the charts is Zimbabwe. South Africans certainly having a conversation about what happened across this week. We've discussed that, so I'll skip over that. And then there was the death of Chipa Masinga. That made a huge impact earlier this week. It's number four on the charts. Then, of course, the Reserve Bank. I don't really understand this story.
No, I have to tell you, I don't either. Don't ask me to explain. No. No. And we're going to move straight on to the next story. I'm not even pretending.
People are interested, Howard. I hate to say it. People are interested. The story is growing by 600% week on week. So it's a very big story. And then law school, Schweizer Renica. Confused, guys.
What are you confused about? The fact that she claims she did nothing wrong?
Was she the right teacher? I'm beginning to understand she wasn't the right person to be suspended. Is that right?
She says she took the photograph. That's what she said,
but she wasn't even the teacher.
I don't buy any of it because you know what? This is not complicated. And I'm sure that if you explained it, we'd understand it. Don't just say, I took the picture and then don't tell us really what happened. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's rubbish. You know, the one thing I've learned very, very expensively in business is sometimes when you have a conversation with somebody and you don't understand it, don't assume that you're stupid and that they are so clever. It's just that they don't know how to, they're obfuscating. They're not telling you the truth. So this is not a complicated story. All they need to do is tell us what happened. Yeah, were these kids separated by race or weren't they? I'm not interested. Did she take the photo? Didn't she? It's not a complicated story.
Shouldn't the teacher be suspended, though?
Of course she should be suspended. Yeah. There's not even a question. Of course she should be suspended pending an investigation as to what happened. And then the school's got to deal with this issue and say, well, you know what? It is a disgrace. It is shameful. And now we've got to figure out how to not only educate our children, but actually to educate our staff.
Ourselves.
What are we doing wrong? What do we need to institute within our organization to make us racially sensitive? Because my worry is that they didn't even realize that this was not okay.
I completely.
That's the biggest story here. The biggest story is that they posted the picture because they didn't think that there was anything wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. It's that deeply ingrained. Look, I think social media are still up in arms because the person who did segregate them is still working there, you know, and I think that's what's left, social media hanging out to dry. But Law School Schweizer Renica, second week on the charts here. There is another racism story called, Stilfontein.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make the charts. Oh. And I always wonder why we cherry pick which racial story we're going to deal with. But anyway, so that particular story didn't make the charts.
Tanya, I do need to stop you there. We do need to go to traffic and some ads. We're chatting to Tanya Khoury, and of course we are getting the news in numbers, finding out what we're speaking about on social media this week. What are the big stories that made the South African? Tanya, what are the other big stories happening in the world of social media?
Can I please give you another Winnie the Pooh quote?
I've please. Yes.
Okay. Rivers know this. There is no hurry. We shall get there someday. Isn't that precious?
Wow. Love that.
Love Winnie the Pooh. If the person you are talking to doesn't appear to be listening, be patient. It may simply be that he has a small piece of fluff in his ear.
Love that. And try that in the world of politics. But wow. And we're looking for your favorite precious Winnie the Pooh quote today, because hold on, today A.A. Milne died or was born?
Was born. Yes.
I really only gave you two options there. Alrighty.
So let's have a look what's left. What do you think of the Gillette ad?
So initially I actually thought it was quite nice, and then I started thinking, hold on, is this just Gillette trying to get onto the Nike bandwagon? I actually don't know that it'll do them any good. I mean, I'm sure they've done their research. I have no doubt they have. But what I find interesting as well is it's advertising to prepubescent boys. I mean, there's ones who haven't started shaving yet. So are they investing in a future market? I'm not sure. Or have they found maybe that wives and girlfriends buy their spouse or boyfriend their product? I don't know. What does social media say about it?
Well, social media is in three minds. Number one, they think it's brilliant and that kudos to Gillette. Mm-hmm. Number two, very much like you, is are they jumping on the Me Too bandwagon just to gain publicity and get traction on a product that is failing because most men have beards now, you know? So Gillette taking heavy shots because of the newfound furry face market. And then the third one, and this is the worrying one, where men hate it because of the message.
No, I'm giving number one.
And that it is going against their so-called masculinity. Mm. And that's the one that irritates me more than anything. Because if you think that being good to people it goes against your masculinity, then we've already got problems. So anyone who has a problem with that ad, specifically because of its content, is probably the exact person they were trying to target.
whereas I agree with you, the one thing I'm not sure I agree with is, do you really want to create an advert that makes your clientele, your target market, feel bad about themselves?
But they should feel bad about themselves.
Well, I shouldn't.
No, but you should feel bad about the rest of the male race.
Should I?
Yes, you should. I mean, really? If women were doing to men what men are doing to women, I'd be angry with women. Wouldn't you, Zanetti?
I would.
I'm angry with women when they behave badly, and I'm angry with men when they behave badly. I don't think that I necessarily would represent or any other male. Now, for sure, there are social constructs and there are social environments where we allow certain locker room behavior to continue. Yep. There's no doubt about it. And that's fine. And maybe, in fact, maybe even if you're right that I should feel bad about it. But if a product that you want to sell me, but if you're trying to sell me a product, then I'm not sure that that's the best strategy.
Or the product could be saying, like, if you buy this product, you're standing with that particular sentiment, you know? And feeling bad is probably the wrong term. I think it's your duty as part of the male race to, when there is that locker room talk, to stand up and say no.
I think you're right.
Just like it is with race.
No, I think you're 100% right about that. I don't disagree. Fascinating.
Yeah, look, so Gillette did an up and then they took a tank and then they did an up again. But then, one company just can't get it right, and that's a DA. My goodness, that billboard. What on earth were you doing? It's like there's a drunk driver behind the wheel of the DA, honestly. Up this billboard and you say the ANC is killing us, and you put down the names of the Life Isidimeni, the people who suffered at the hands of Life Isidimeni and died, you put their names up there without consulting with the families or having any sort of permission to do so.
And what I noticed was so interesting, is the anger that people should be feeling towards the ANC that have failed these people simply shifted yesterday towards the DA.
Like that party, like if they get any votes, I'll be surprised.
You can't say that. They will get.
Who on earth is driving their marketing strategy? Because I need a word. A very
can
serious
I tell you, Tanya,
word.
I've tried. Genuinely, I tried. And I tried around the water crisis. I reached out to the DA and I said, guys, you're blowing it. This is something I understand. Let me help you to communicate because you are not communicating well at all. You're asking a tremendous amount from people and you're not giving them the information. Let me help you. And no, they apparently had it. So everything was cool. Everything was fun.
I had a similar experience, Howard. I'm not sure if I should share this on air, where the last, municipal elections, or provincial elections, whatever they're called, we then offered a social media tool to the DA to understand what the market was saying, etc. Mm-hmm. And do you know what the response was?
Yeah.
We don't care about social media. It's not our market.
Oh.
Oh, ouch.
I mean, you can't even fight with that reasoning.
No,
can you?
No,
I mean,
you can't
come back and say, no, but actually it is your market because you're so,
because you missed it completely, then you're living in the wrong world.
You're not going
to
get it.
Absolutely. Tanya Currie, unfortunately, that's where we have to love and leave you. But you know what Winnie the Pooh says? Hold on. I'm going to quote this all the time now. You're going to be hearing it until you're actually sick of it.